On May 21st, 1972, a man brought a hammer into St. Peter's Basilica and struck the Pietà, Michelangelo's masterwork depicting Mary holding the crucified Christ. He struck it 15 times. The damage to Mary's face was extensive, with a large chunk of the nose broken off. The man was restrained, but the damage was done, and pieces of the once beautiful face of Mary were scattered across the basilica floor. Something is broken in our world. While there is certainly beauty and goodness around us, just like that statue, it is clear that some sort of metaphysical hammer has been taken to it. In fact, an English newspaper in the early 1900s wrote asking for submissions for essays answering this very question: what is wrong with the world? What is wrong with the world? Let's stop for a second. What would you have said? What would I have said in response to that? It's worth pausing to recognize that this is one of the most important foundational questions for an adequate anthropology. Or, in other words, if we get the answer to this question wrong, about what it means to be a human person, we will get almost all of the other answers wrong as well. Because if we don't know what the problem is, the solutions we try often must create more problems. So in response to this prompt, G.K. Chesterton, the ordinarily very verbose Catholic writer, simply wrote back two words, just two simple words: I am. I am. I am what's wrong with the world. What does he mean? Well, the church has always pointed to the reality of original sin, that man, due to his rebellion against God, now suffers the consequences. As we hear in Romans today, through one man, Adam, sin entered the world. We were destined for abundant life with God, but we rejected God, and now all of us have inherited a human nature that is broken, that we are doomed to death, and not just physical death, but death of body and soul, that sin destroys. In the Catechism, it states that due to original sin, we are wounded in the natural powers proper to us. We are subject to ignorance, to suffering, and the dominion of death. And we are inclined to sin. That we have, another way of putting it is that we have clouded intellects. We have weakened wills. We struggle to know the truth, and we also struggle to choose the good. The Catechism goes on and states that this doctrine of original sin is, so to speak, it's the reverse side of the good news. That all men need salvation, and that salvation is offered to all through Jesus Christ. In other words, original sin lets us know that we need a savior. I found it intriguing as I was reading more about the incident with the Pietà that there were some who actually advocated that due to the Pietà's uniqueness, it should not be repaired. Sure, Michelangelo had made it beautiful, but what's done is done and there's no undoing it. They said that it should be left defaced, that it should remain broken. Friends, the great surprise of the story of Adam and Eve, why it matters so much, isn't that it tells us that original sin happened. You can read a history book or turn on the nightly news to know that humanity is sinful. No, the great surprise of Genesis 1 through 3, why it's there, is that it tells us that this wasn't meant to be so. That this wasn't the original plan. That God did not intend for us to experience suffering and death. And it's also there to show us that this won't always be so. That our Lord was not content to let sin have the last word. Romans 5 that we hear today does not end with, through one man sin entered the world. It goes on, for if by the transgression of one many died, how much more did the grace of God and the gracious gift of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow for the many? How much more? God was not content to let our broken pieces remain scattered on the floor. And there's an important part to this gospel that I want us to hear, that I don't want us to miss. Because as we talk about concepts like original sin, it's easy to keep them just kind of as ideas out there, as theological concepts. But I think there's kind of two truths that I think are supposed to hit us right here. First is, yes, we are broken. We have experienced the brokenness of sin. We do suffer its effects. But also, even in our brokenness, even in our sinfulness, do we see how the Father looks at us with love? Do you see how your Heavenly Father looks at you with love? That you are worth more to him than many sparrows, than all the stars in the heavens, that even the hairs on your head are counted with love by your Heavenly Father. There was a man named Mark. Mark grew up Catholic in China in the 1800s. He raised a family. He was a well-respected doctor in his community. But in his 30s, he contracted a very painful stomach ailment. And as was common at the time, he began to treat that pain with opium. Unfortunately, he quickly became addicted and he couldn't get free. And he was deeply ashamed of the scandal this caused in his community, of the effect this was having on others. And he prayed and prayed that he would be delivered from this addiction. But it continued. He couldn't get free. But that didn't stop him from continuing to pray, from continuing to practice his Catholic faith, and striving to raise his kids and his grandkids in the faith. I think myself or many of us might have just at this point thrown up our hands and given up. We have allowed our addiction to our struggle, our brokenness, to define us. But Mark didn't stop praying. He didn't stop believing that he was so much more than just an opium addict. Mark's addiction went on for 30 years, until in 1900, the Boxer Rebellion broke out in China, and with it, there was a large persecution of the Catholic Church. And one day, they came for Mark, and for his kids, and for his grandkids, and along with other Christians from their town, they were thrown in prison and sentenced to execution. They were given a chance. They were given a chance they could renounce the faith. They could deny Jesus Christ and be free. But Mark and his family, they refused. When they were being taken to the place of execution, one of his grandchildren asked him, "Grandpa, where are we going?" And Mark replied, "We are going home." Mark asked the captors that if he could be executed last, because he did not want anyone else in his family to have to die alone. And he watched as his family was executed, and as he awaited his own death, he sang the litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He was executed on July 7th, 1900, at the age of 66. And many would have said that Mark died an opium addict, but that is not true. Mark died a martyr for Jesus Christ. See, too often we define ourselves by the broken pieces, by what is not right, by what has been marred by sin, either our sin or others' sin, and we think that God looks at us that way too, as just our brokenness, as just our sins. But that is not how our Father defines us. That is not how our Father sees us. He sees the masterpiece that he created. He sees the man, the woman that he formed in the womb. He sees the son, the daughter that he adopted at their baptism. Our Lord is here with us, and he has been there with you. Even as the world in so many ways has tried to take a hammer to our hearts, the ways that the world, that sin has tried to mar the glory of God, the way that sin has tried to obscure the image of God. But our Lord is not fooled. He sees you. He sees you. And I want you to hear again what he is saying in the scriptures today, especially if it feels like your brokenness is your identity, like your brokenness, your sin might have the last word in your life, that the Lord speaks this today. "I am with you like a mighty champion. Your persecutors will not triumph. The sins that you feel stuck in, the brokenness that feels so big, it will not have the last word. Be not afraid. You are worth more than sparrows or kingdoms or all the stars in the sky. You were worth the life of my beloved son. you are precious in my sight. Or in the words of Pope St. John Paul II, that we are not the sum of our weaknesses and failures. We are the sum of the Father's love for us and our real capacity to become the image of his Son, Jesus. I've been to Rome. I've seen it. The Pietà has been restored, and it is beautiful. And in the year 2000, Mark was among 120 Chinese martyrs who were canonized saints by Pope John Paul II. Brokenness did not have the last word in Mark's life. And if we remain close to the Lord, to his sacraments, to the graces he so generously pours out, brokenness will not have the last word in ours.